You think you know about relationships, but you're wrong. Listen, there's no magic bullet. I'm teaching life skills.
When he's sick, you need medicine. It don't always taste good.
Nah.
But it'll get you better. You need this medicine.
Yeah.
It ain't gonna always taste good, but this is what you need. Men and women, bottom line, we need to have the conversation. Your partner wants to give up control, but only if you know how to drive. This is about being the best you could ever be, whoever you are. I don't care if you're a man, a woman, LGBTQ, space aliens. I'll save anybody. I don't care. I'll teach a hedgehog how to have a threesome.
What do you mean by that?
Look, you don't have to listen to me, but you're wrong.
Listen, I know I'm great. And I know you're thinking, Dante, there's no way I could be like you. But you could be me, you know why?
Because you know who I was before I was me? I was you! You
man score 202.
Better hear what I've got to say because you won't get it again.
I'm not an alpha male. I'm not a beta male either. I'm just a better man. Better man. Well, put your happiness first, because if you don't, they won't.
What's up, Square Pimp Brigade? On this episode, we got a special show. GYBB gets your balls back. WWDD, what would Dante do? The sexual revolution is being podcasted, and I am excited. Harry, how you feeling? You ready to do this?
Doing good, even after the holidays. But I'm having a tough time keeping these gators down, Dante. I didn't realize how difficult it would be, but it's difficult.
We have a special guest, and I know I say that every episode, but this time I mean it. This young lady, very, very funny, Comedy Central. What else you got, Jackie?
America's Got Talent.
Give it up for Jackie Fabulous, y'all. Give it up for Jackie Fabulous.
What it do?
You know, what's going on, Mama? It's so good to see you.
Good to see you. We bonded that one night. Will I ever see him again? Is he gone forever?
No, I'm back. So, it was weird. I don't know if you noticed, Harry, but how we hooked up. So, I've been friends with Ty for a long time, and I've heard Jackie's name around for a long time. How long have you been doing it, Jack? Ty Barnett.
How long have I what?
Been doing comedy.
16 years total.
So I've been hearing Jackie's name around, but we never actually met. We passed each other like maybe at the Cellar here and there, but never really. And then she came in with Ty, and Ty is such a good, he's such a good dude. Like, you know, that is the, you know, I made friends with Ty for a long, long time. Aww. So, and then when you came in with Ty, I was like, oh man, I get a chance to meet, and went up and murdered. We did the backyard behind the hospital. So,
It was fun.
Comedy is now, though. It's not doing those are the venues.
Yeah. Like, there was a time when you would be like, outside, how much?
I know. I didn't plan on going up. I was just tagging along with Ty. I'm like, he had a spot, and then I called the Cellar and said, hey, can I bring Ty by? And they were like, sure. So we had a night of stand-up. I didn't expect it, but it turned out fantastic.
Yeah. It's dope. So dope. So funny. Funny stuff. I really, really enjoyed you. Just very, so natural. And all the years, you did not disappoint. So.
Yeah, it was fun. Thank you. Those are always the best sets where you're like, what the fuck? Let's do it.
Yeah. And it's funny because a lot of those kids that were going up, like the short kid and the other one.
Yes.
I do a writer's workshop with those guys.
Okay.
And I've been punching their stuff up. Sometimes I'll have Harry on, sit in with me, and I'll just go. Yeah.
Dante's very quick and cold with them too. It took a while to get used to it.
Yeah.
Are you a comic too, Harry?
Yeah.
Nice.
So yeah. I've been doing stand up for a while Dante's doing it the right way. It just takes so much getting used to, because he'll just cut it like, no, stop that. You don't give a fuck about that. You can see him like just stomp all over this little thing they were excited about. And he's right, though, because you want to talk about stuff that you care about. You're supposed to write about stuff that you care about, and he's got to stomp them out real quick. It's just uncomfortable.
There'll be a girl who'll have the white girl syndrome, and she'll be like, so I was hanging out with my mother, and she was, and they do the same. Uh-huh. I'm like, stop. What are you doing? And I'm like, I can't. I'm just not going to let you sing your story out. So
that's always whenever I give advice to comics, because I've taught before, I haven't done it in a long time. I always say, I want to hear what you think about so-and-so for real. I don't want to hear abstract jokes about cashews. Everybody at some point, they all wanted to kind of mimic Seinfeld and take an abstract thought or an observation that they don't give a shit about. I don't care about nothing really unless I've experienced it someone I know did. So I like to get them right. Cut them off at the knees. Like, no, don't do that.
Yeah, because I go, if you don't care about it, why would I care? Why would an audience? You don't even have the skill set to make me care about something that I don't really care about. I go, so if you start off with not caring about it and then you do it 100 times, do the same joke 100, like, how could you possibly? I'm going to know. It's really authentic. It's one thing about comedy. It's always taught me, you know, the more authentic you are, the more, you know, then people, they may not even like what you're talking about, but if it's true to you, they'll go on the ride.
The more you can relate to people, the more people can relate to you.
You know, what's a scary thing and what comes to mind, the more you talk about what really matters to you or what actually happened to you. And this is a horrible word to use in stand up, but the easier stand up can get for you. Because you're not trying to figure out what's funny about this random topic. As opposed to, I went out with a guy last night and he had on socks with slippers. Mm-hmm. But I still fucked them because, you know, be real.
Right,
like,
right.
Whatever's in your head that you might think is taboo, that's what we want to hear. We want to hear about that.
But, you know, it's kind of yeah and no, because it's kind of like they have to learn. It's kind of like you have to learn structure and then know the structure so well that you don't even have to think about it, so that when you talk, you're already talking in that structure. It's just
like the thoughts in your head. You can't just get on stage and be like, so blah blah blah, and there's no structure. The audience is like, what is a TED talk? I don't know what you're doing up there. But if you teach them the structure, they can insert the facts easily. Yeah.
So this is a funny thing why I really wanted to have you on too, because I mean, so the show is a relationship show, and you were doing this bit about you wanting your pussy to get a vacation, right?
Oh, I'm gonna write that down. That was random.
Yeah.
Was
random. Wow. So you know what's funny about that? It was because it was so authentic. Do you know what I mean? You were literally like, oh God. And so what's funny is because I'm an old horny dude. You know what I mean? Like, I'm an old dude. You know, I know what I'm doing. Yes. I know I'm not fumbling around in the dark. And I always say, so a lot of times I'll be counseling guys who are older, and they think because they don't have the youth that they have nothing to offer, because everything that they're offering is, you know, they think every girl wants a guy with a six pack and it is the tan and
it's individual. And to be honest, I'll tell you where that joke came from. I was on IG Live with Yamanika. I know you know Yam.
Yeah.
And we were talking about porn. And I said to her, I can't watch black girls in porn because their pussies look like, they look too rough, they look too beat up. Uh-huh. And I said, girl, you're pretty, but your pussy need to go to Aruba, need to go on vacation.
Right.
And that was me and Yamanika just talking honestly. When I said that, you know, I'm like, usually when I say things in conversation, if they're funny, I remember them, and that ends up in my set. Right, so right. That's what I brought that to that rooftop show, and I just changed it around, and I put my pussy in instead of the porn star.
Because
it's real. I had a boyfriend that that's all we would do when I go over his house. That's when I'm like, you know what? I'm glad I'm not there because I need a rest. I need.
Well, is it an older dude? It was an older dude or a younger?
No. Same age. Just very healthy dude. Very healthy dude with a sex drive like mine, which is a problem. So
yeah. Somebody nothing gets done. Nothing is done.
No, nothing gets done. Nothing.
It's funny because I always say, like, an older, like, I'm 54, and I, like, I always say this, I got a dude. Like, if you need something, I got a dude. I either know a dude or I know a dude who knows a dude.
Yeah.
If your sink is leaky, if your transmission is going, you trying to get some diamond earrings? Hold on, let me call my man in the diamond. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I need a dude like you. Thank you. I don't have a dude. I need a dude.
I got it. I always got it. I either am the dude, know the dude, or know a dude who knows the dude. You know,
I love
sometimes
that.
I have to ask Dante for where I'm like, do you know a guy who's got insulin? And it's a 50-50 shot.
You never know.
I'm like, well, he's out. That. But I mean, if you had let me know earlier this month, I could have got you all the insulin you wanted. Yeah. You know, but it is a matter of, I mean, you know, there's always a different 50-year-old, you know, where somebody who doesn't take care of themselves and stuff. But I'm saying,
yeah, but you could be a 20-year-old who doesn't take care of himself too. Right. That's the thing. You don't have. It's not an age thing. Because listen, we all know, we've all seen that 50-year-old dude at the gym or whatever, or playing hockey or whatever. Is like they're in shape, and you're like, that's what I want to be. And you've also seen people who don't do shit in their 20s.
Yeah.
At the same time, it's all what you make it.
I've had physical moments with dudes that were a decade younger than me, and we would have sex once, and I'd be like, we'd finish and water chit chat. I'm like, ready to go again. And I've had guys that are 35 be like, I'm not 20 anymore, Jackie. I'm like, yeah, but you're still 15 years younger than me. What's wrong with you? So age does not determine health and ability at all.
Oh yeah, you're right.
There's a lot of things that people do, like a diet is a huge portion of it. Diet and exercise. I know that.
And sleep.
Sleep as well as part of that, the nutrition thing. Yeah. Like, I'm much better now than I was in my 20s, to be honest, because I work out more. I'm eating right. I'm not eating fast food. And you don't realize, like, how much, like, you know what? Everything that you do to your body somehow affects your dick. You don't realize it until everything. If you hit your finger with a hammer, I don't know how much, but it affects it a little bit.
Yeah, psychological. Everything affects your penis.
I got chap lips, dick. I got my lips and chap. Something's wrong with my dick. Yeah, I mean it all. But I mean that it's a holistic view of things because we are one and the same. It's like even when you talk about comedy and you talk about honesty and there's an openness and an honesty to it. You can't when all is said and done, you can't fake it. You know, I mean, that's the great thing about comedy is like you can't fake it, dog. You either got the chops or you don't. And if you don't, well, you'll know you're not. But the same thing is true. I always say this, you know, there's always dudes talking about they want to do a threesome and this and that. I'm like, a lot of you motherfuckers can't fuck one person properly.
I've shut down that request with guys. I'm like, you cannot stay awake to find out who did it on a Law and Order episode. And you want to fuck two women? I'm like, you are exhausted after me and not even like a long session.
Not a session.
No. We made love for 20 minutes and you are gone. You're knocked out. And you're like, and they would be nervous about asking. They're like, Jackie, you know, and I'm like, I know what you're trying to get to. And let me tell you, the answer is no. Not because I'm shy, but because you're not able to. I know you can't.
Right. Because I'm not going to be sitting around fucking twiddling my thumbs while you figure it out either. I mean, that's,
unless you want to go get snacks, unless you want to be the beverage guy or the snack guy.
And I'm going to tell you something. It's
towel guy,
really
get some
not.
Towels,
exactly.
Something.
The window, go open the window, get some air circulating.
It's really not that much fun. It's really not. It's a lot of work. Like if you're, what up, Killo?
Look who joined us.
What up, Dre?
Andre D. Thompson, who is as his background, it just says cereal. This is like performance art now, Andre.
You know what I mean? I try. What up, Jackie?
Andre's, what up, baby?
Andre's Blanksy.
What the fuck is that? What was that?
Huh? He got the volcano with the bag, you know, the vape.
Yeah. What is it?
There's a bag full of weed.
You just have to know that it's full of weed, Jackie.
Burning it.
What?
You use a vaporizing technology.
You mean a glad bag?
Nah, it comes with that.
Yeah.
See the plastic thing on the end?
That looks ridiculous.
But it's good for your lungs.
This was one of the first vaporizers.
Yeah. So what happens is when people who start getting really into weed, they get bored. So they have to find new ways of ingesting the weed. And they're like, oh, this is a weed fingernail polish. You put a little bit.
Revolutionizing the industry, Harry? This
CBD oil, you put it on your fingernails.
Look, Dante has an apparatus himself.
That's just comedy to me. That's just funny. This is ridiculous.
I want to get high. Well,
you just started smoking, all right?
I would say in the last 2 years, I've figured out what is good for and when is too much and when is fun.
This thing was the gold standard, the vaporizing gold, that big ass bag.
Like I have met some professional potheads. I have never seen anybody pull out a dry cleaner fucking plastic bag.
Where's the volcano, Dre? Show her the volcano.
Andre will do a balloon animal filled with weed just for a party.
What's that? You know,
that's the volcano.
That's how you cook.
That's how you show it up.
If I came to your house for sex and you were like,
oh, we lit.
No. And you were like, you want to
be
high
in the motherfucker.
And you said, Jackie, do you want to get high? And I said, yes. And you came back with any of that shit. I'd be like, where are my car keys? I'm leaving because I'm not doing crack. I don't know you.
I'm not doing crack.
That was the goal.
Not gonna fuck with the booger sugar.
Why are you sweating so much? That's why you're sweating so hard. What are you doing?
Because what had happened was I had checked the email waiting for Harry's email for the Zoom link, but then I ain't see it.
She went for a jog instead.
So I was like, he not doing it. Let me go do some push-ups. I done fucked around.
Are you in jail right now? Are you zooming from prison?
This is Rikers. They upgraded the facilities.
they got Jackie, HD cameras.
Everyone's doing a podcast now, Jackie. You don't understand.
I know. And I'm like, he is in the joint right now.
And he's get off the phone.
He's in the jail.
Phone check, nigga. Phone check.
Yo, son, let me do that podcast. Let me do your podcast.
I want to buy a pillow from you later, nigga. Don't go nowhere.
Yo, hurry up. They getting ready to shut us down.
Exactly.
time to go to bed.
Lockdown. Lockdown. Let's do it. Oh, my
God. We got
to
finish. I got a hard out at 7:59. Real hard. Correction.
Stay out of jail.
Correction officer hard. So
hilarious.
I could never have a nigga tell me when to go to bed. Nah, bro. I'll follow the law.
Son,
I ain't no game.
This is how
that's your problem with prison, by the way, Andre. I don't want nobody telling me when to go to bed
and I gotta shower with a group of niggas.
It's not
I'm not with
sexual assaults and the stabbings. You're like, bedtime?
I don't wanna go to sleep.
In the streets.
Can I take my headphones?
Stabbed at a Whole Foods.
Yeah.
My battery's dying. I don't want
to. Okay, no worries. No worries. We're just all right now. Andre, you can add, and you can see Andre's background as always when you go to the YouTube channel, Man School 202. The YouTube, you have chosen what looks like a blurred out picture of a Cinnabon, and it says cereal handwriting of a 3-year-old.
One morning I was eating some cereal and I felt inspired by the texture, and then I wrote cereal.
Are you Andre?
This sounds like an art project you did at the last minute, Andre.
We have met previously.
Where?
Sherrod Small's podcast. Before people couldn't talk to people in public.
We were on the podcast together?
AKA Race Wars.
Race Wars.
I know.
Race Wars.
I've only done it twice or two or three. Oh, in his studio at the stand.
It's downstairs. Yeah.
Okay, I remember it now.
Who?
He was giving out 10 like copper cans or something like that, and he gave me a wonderful copper mug.
Oh yes, you look different. You're all sweaty with a hood on. That's why I'm like, who is it?
Yeah, I look criminal right now. Before you met me, I had a pink t-shirt, a clean cut.
So,
now I look like I sell loose.
You were so presentable. That's why I'm like, who is this young man?
You looking mad to me, Rice, right now, son.
I look like a suspect. It ain't good.
If you approach me on the subway in this getup, I'd be like, hey, dog, I get off next stop. I don't want to chit chat.
Nah, if I'm on the subway in this, you're going to hear me say, Showtime, Showtime. I'll pull my hat out, you feel me?
I'm swinging around the arm, the armhole. Boy,
that busy.
Oh, hilarious.
Yeah. I got Jackie Sminoked out with the fucking shatter. With the shatter.
Well, yeah.
I don't know what. You know what? I'm not going to lie. It didn't make me that high. It made me relaxed. It didn't make me like, you know, like, yeah, it made me very like chill to the point where I always seem to try new stuff or get kind of funny, too relaxed when I'm hanging out with Ty. And then, I become his problem, his burden.
Yeah.
Then he's like, Jackie, get off the street.
You know, that's why he kept shutting you down. I was passing and he was like, yo, chill. I was like.
I probably do it on purpose because I like to see him get frazzled. Like, put your clothes back on. We outside.
That's Todd too. That is so Todd.
Like a father. Like, come on, Jackie. I'm like, I'm grown.
Come on now.
Yeah, exactly. We are out.
What is wrong?
Put your titty away.
Put your titty away. We are outside.
So, Jackie, let me ask you, since do you think it's different? You're a comic, you're doing all this adventurous stuff. Is it different being your age than it would be for the average person, the average woman, as far as like dealing with men?
No, I'm 49. And I've never, for someone who has not had success that you would imagine what its success is in terms of love, I have a very healthy attitude towards dating and sex and men. That's probably why most of my friends are dudes. Like, I'm very comfortable hanging around guys because I think the problem with a lot of women, all ages, is they try and make men this special kind of species. Like, you're not human beings. Where I'm like, no, they're just people. But they're, you know, with different anatomy. If you treat them like people before they're men. Yeah,
also, we're a lot more simple.
Yes.
Like, it is what it is. Like,
I tell women all the time, like, they're not stupid. They're simple. You guys are working too hard, doing too much.
Yeah.
And I realize whenever I do date someone seriously, I'm like, all he wants is food, sex, and to be left alone and to tell his story for the 87th time. They don't need much more than that. The to same
the story. You don't mind the same. It's the same story. They
need some writer, bro. That's a good man.
They don't need much. They don't need much. And I have never been too. I don't make it controversial to deal with men. I'm comfortable around them. And I've never been. I used to live in LA 20 years, and I'd be around, you know, dimes. Women with barely got any clothes on. Everything about their body is perfect, you know. But they're the least confident women I have found sometimes.
Oh yeah, they're horrifically. That's a lot of times. That's why they'll make dudes jump through hoops and stuff, because once they gain any degree of power, then they need to. You abuse you with it, becomes abusive because they've been abused because they're so insecure about it. And they, so a lot Dante, of times they won't. Yeah.
Is that, do you think that's instinctual or is that just supply and demand like human nature?
It's both.
It's both. I think it's both. I mean, you're in a situation. Am I jumping around or no?
No, you're good. What do you mean jumping around?
No, never mind. You know, I think what happens is they're not as nearly as confident as they want to be perceived as. And then they haven't had the experience one way or the other. And they you know, they have a problem dealing with whatever the fuck is going on. So
there's also pressure when I've never been the hot girl. I know that I'm adorable. But when you're labeled the hot girl, there's a pressure to always be the sexy girl and keep maintain it, and then they want you to have the personality to match. It's a lot of work being that level of good looking.
Yeah.
Even though we're all good looking in our own way, but I know there's a way that men see a girl and they're like, ah, she's hot, her ass is big, blah blah blah, and then they'll play with her, but then they'll with me they're like, but I want to see you again because I actually want to talk to you after I'm done smashing.
Yeah,
you know, and that's where the difference is. And the older I get, the more I'm like, I know I play my position. Like, I tried being the hot girl where, you know, high heels. I would do shows in LA and I would wear high heels for a 7-8 minute set. Mm. And I'm like, why? You're killing yourself for a short set. Now, when I wear sneakers on stage or boots and look cute as opposed to trying to be sexy, the sets are better. I seem more confident because I am. I'm not worried about what men think. I'm having a good time. And that attracts men, in my opinion, faster than a tight dress.
Well, you know what? Because it's a weird thing that we tell people what we think our worth is. So because I always say this, when you first meet somebody, I don't know you and you don't know me. So how do I know what you're worth? You got to tell me what the price is. You got to tell me what this costs. Yeah. And if I don't think it's worth something, I'm going to, it'll reflect the way the things that I say and everything that it'll do with it, that level of insecurity will reflect everything I do. And then you go, oh, you really don't think you shit.
Yeah.
And then you're going, well, who knows better than you? I mean, you are you. So you know if you ain't shit. And yeah. So they tell you how to teach. And now it's an odd thing, even when a guy feels he's approaching a girl that's more attractive than him, mm-hmm. or at a different, you know, I mean, yeah. a level, or, you know, supposedly out of his league. Mm-hmm. The fact that she doesn't know him, he has to tell her what his worth is, and he does that in his stance, in his walk, the cadence of his voice, the level of comfort, even that, like, you know, relaxed vocal cords. Because mm-hmm. if you tense, you everything's tense. So it permeates everything that you do. So you're there's always this you're communicating and you're talking, but there's always this subtext.
Yeah,
there's this subtext that's always swimming underneath it. That's what you got to learn to read.
Yeah, and because, more people. Go ahead.
No, go. That's the honest place. They don't even know it's swirling underneath. You know. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And I think a lot of the confusion or insecurity would dissipate if more people would shoot. People don't shoot their shot. Like they're really worried that I'm not going to be enough. She's out of my league. He's out of my league. If everyone just shot their shot without worrying about being rejected, you know, you would realize
there'd be way more STDs in the world.
Well, yeah, but not all. Oh. All something, they're all curable now, Andre. Some of them aren't. The ones who aren't curable, you know, God bless you.
I like the outlook is positive.
Yeah, I'm always positive because people are too worried what everybody else thinks. You know,
that's a fact.
You know how many, like, I've had boyfriends where I know nobody said this to me, but I've had guys in my life where I can tell girlfriends or whatever are like in their head, they're kind of like, how in the hell you get him? And right. I'm like, because I shot my shot or he shot his shot. And we're like, yo, what, we're people.
Yeah.
That's all that matters. You know,
also, and if you put your feet on the ground every day and your intention is to be kind and loyal and credible, that is more valuable than anything. It's like, you know, it's like when you talk, like we were talking about Ty is one of those dudes. And so that's currency that we take for granted. You know, if somebody trusts you, it's because you're trustworthy. Mm-hmm. You've already earned their trust. This is not an. They've already made that assessment in the first place. So yeah. Everything that you do is congruent with that. With being trustworthy.
Yeah.
Same thing is the case with value or sex appeal or confidence or what you think you deserve. Moreover, than I was talking to one of my boys and he was saying, like, he's trying to, he wants to smash some chick outside of the marriage, right?
Ooh.
So he's like,
these are the type of phone calls Dante gets.
Yeah, I get
by
that.
The way.
I get
no,
it all.
I'm not
I get,
judging. I trust me. Everyone's journey is their own. I don't judge anything.
yeah, but I'm saying only Dante gets these stuff. Very few people in the world. I get it. I get those every once in a while, but Dante gets them like almost. Hey man, I'm thinking about fucking around on my wife. Let me get your opinion on this.
I get the same call from a woman who's like, my husband is not doing it for me. I love him, but
people just ask me about different types of rolling paper.
That's the pothead.
Andre, that's your own fault.
You know that's your new youth.
Fault. I'm here to supply the neighborhood. I'm a helpful brother.
Yo, Dre, for real though, what kind of ice cream should I get after I'm done with this volcano? Like,
the Häagen-Dazs.
Professionally speaking,
rum raisin ice cream. That
question. This is a big sidebar, but you mentioned your clothing on stage and how that affects you, how you perform. And then I couldn't stop thinking that since the COVID shit started, all these pandemic shows I've been performing mm-hmm. on fucking sidewalks and mm-hmm. parks
coat
and rooftops
and
shit.
Yeah.
And then I kind of, if I felt the difference of dressing, like putting effort to be fly on stage, mm-hmm. and then the effort of, fuck it, I got a sweatshirt and some pants. And it's like, I feel like I have more fun in the fuck it.
You know what? That's in your head though.
Yeah.
Like the way that you go, when I go on stage, I should be this is in your head.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm thinking that. I kind of feel blank slate-ish.
Right. Like, no, we all feel blank slate-ish, but there's always a parameter. You know what I'm saying? It's like jazz. Like, a lot of motherfuckers are just very organic, but it's still in the confines of that particular song. So being, the bound, even though you don't think you have a boundary, you have a boundary. There's things you start with that you wouldn't start with.
Does it make a difference with what you wear?
I think it does. I thought it did, and then I realized it doesn't.
I can relate to that. There's a picture I posted on my IG. I had flown in from a road gig on a Sunday, and I went to the Cellar right from the airport. And I had on a pink Champion hoodie and jeans and sneakers, which is not my uniform for performing. Mm-hmm. But I remember the set, and I remember pictures I had my hand in my pockets. And, I never had my hand in my pockets. And I realized that some sets where I'm really, really, really dressed down, I do perform in a more relaxed state of mind because I'm like, I'm just here. I'm hanging out with y'all. Mm-hmm. I'm going to run through my thoughts. I'm not really going to do my actual set. And then there are times where if I'm really dressed up, I realize that's because everybody came to see me. So I have an obligation to look the way they expect me to look because I do have an image in my head that I built for myself. So if you have a way you like to be, if you change your performance style based on how you're dressed, that's all on you. Because the audience will take whatever you give them if you're good. If you're already good, you can go up there whatever you want to wear, and they'll take what you offer. You know?
For me, it was always a thing about worrying about weight, like a showbiz thing. The audience genuinely doesn't care. But, it's something that affects you. What it about affects that your confidence. Me? What happened, Andre?
No, so like the way you feel in the clothes or like how people see you in the clothes, like I felt that I've thought about it. Like I've made active decisions to change how I dress, to change how people are going to respond.
Yeah. And I think it makes you stand out. Like when I realize that I have a natural propensity to dress up. I'm a girly girl. Mm-hmm. And I realized that when I moved back to New York and I became a Cellar person, I'm like, I would overdress. Not too much, but you could tell that I thought I was going somewhere special.
A little shine on it.
Yeah.
too much of a shine.
Exactly. And I've had comics be like, where are you going? I'm like, this is it. Yeah. This is my event for the night.
Where are you going?
And then I realized that and years ago, it would have bothered me that they made fun of me because I was dressed up. Now I'm like, no, this is who I am. Now y'all know that I'm coming to work and this is my brand. You got to think, as long as you know who you are and what you are. Nobody else's opinion is going to matter.
Let me ask you this. On when you date, does your dress communicate different things? Is that a conscious effort as well? Or do you just go with honesty, your truest self?
I do both. I do take into account what guys like and what I know will make get their attention / get them horny at dinner.
What'll show up the valuable goods? How to show the goods?
Yeah, exactly. I take people act like, if you're confident, it means you don't give a shit what men think. I totally care what men think. But I know that if I feel cute, then I'm going to come off. I think it's sexier when you know you look cute.
Yeah,
because he knows she feels good about herself.
Right, right.
Therefore, the conversation is going to flow. The drinks are going to flow. The night will flow better if you both seem like you are doing it. You know what I mean?
That's a fact. Yeah. I hate a girl that got bad posture, like all slumped, shouldered, sad looking.
Personal preference. You like when they're like, "Hey, you out? You know, put your shirt on."
Like a rounded shoulder shirt? Nah, it's not possible to be sexy when your shoulders is all rounded up.
And you don't know whether that's because she has scoliosis or low self-esteem.
Now, are either of those things desirable things?
I don't like big ass knees.
Yeah.
I got a thing about big ass knees.
And sometimes when you're a actual quote unquote big girl, sometimes your knees are thick and they're kind of round.
No, but not. I don't have a problem with thick and you know, like a big girl's knee. Yeah. I'm talking about a ass knee. Like,
Dante's talking about one girl. Dante's talking about one specific girl he met. I know this story, and it's not like a pattern. This one girl with messed up knees.
This girl was smoking hot, but she had just big, skinny legs with big ass knees. Like she had, like she was playing volleyball, where she had like knee pads on her.
You're saying she looked like Patrick Ewing from the knees?
Knees up. Couldn't, it just drove me crazy.
That's okay. I get that. That's totally okay.
Hey, Dante, you were finishing up. I'm sorry, we interrupted you a while back. You're saying a dude had called you up.
He wanted to step out. And I said, look, this is not for you. I said, because so first he said to me that the girl was hitting on him and, you know, she was flirting with him, and apparently he didn't have his ring on him or whatever. And then
ring don't matter, but good.
Right. Exactly. But he didn't have his ring on it. And then she goes, she's like, well, he hits her up, hey, what's up? You know, boom, 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 boom. She goes, oh, you're married. Like that. And so she goes, well, you know, I don't know. I just don't, blah, blah. She's, you know.
She didn't walk away, though.
But here's the thing.
Didn't walk away.
But this is the subtext.
Yeah.
No, not you, when they go, no, you're married. What she's, that ain't a no.
That's a
yes. But these conditions are stopping me. You already got the yes, and you don't even. But if you don't think that you deserve that, you can't have a side bitch and then don't think you deserve it. Because
I'm confused. Say that again.
So like, if he got a side chick and he really doesn't think he deserves it.
Oh, you can't. If you're gonna step out / have anything on the side, you gotta have the confidence to pull that off. That's not right. You're gonna fuck up your life, your wife's life, her life.
Because she's gonna find out, and it's gotta. And even to get that, to keep the marriages, you gotta have a broad stance to go through that
and still bring it back.
To say, and if you ain't built like that,
you also have to be ready to manage a side bitch, because she eventually will come at you the same way your wife does.
Not necessarily. As someone, I have in the past, old Jackie before Jesus.
Oh boy.
I have had relations with maybe two married men in my life, and they kept their family life. It was serious. Bottom line, the wife, the children, the home life, they kept it very separate. And you can tell when a man is like, look, I like you, you know, I'm vibing. If you want to hang out, cool. You can tell when they approach you and they have an obligation, right, that, right, look, y'all will never cross paths.
But a
real dude who's confident about stepping out, you can tell when they're, something about them is instinctual, where you know he's not gonna,
right,
ain't no side games. It's like, I'll see you and we'll figure it out. It's organized, it's structured, it's scheduled. And you know that when I'm not with you, you know exactly what I'm doing.
And I got you.
Yeah, and we're
what
doing
you
it.
Need, what you we're need, I got you.
We're doing it and there's no discussion. All your friends don't know about it. All his friends don't know about it. If it's going to be on the side and it's going to be on the low, it really has to be. Taken seriously and
that's
on
mad
the low.
Fucking work, son.
It's work, but not if.
Oh, most
depends
definitely.
On who you get. If you know, here's the thing about men. If you decide to fool around with someone you know you shouldn't be, you need to pick the woman who you know is not going to fuck your life up. And there's no way to know. It's all a crapshoot. But in my instances, I knew, like, I had my own life. I had my job and my career. This career keeps my head occupied. So I'm like, he don't got to worry about me crossing over and trying to get him from his family. I'm like, he knows that I have a lot to lose. He got a lot to lose. So we're
and we both got things to do. We both
and we,
got
and we
shit,
have
to,
shit
do.
To do. And
yeah,
when
see,
I,
the
and
thing
when I
is,
see,
Jackie, you have your own identity. That's the big thing. You have your own
problem.
Identity.
That's why you got to make sure you pick a woman that has her own identity. And it's hard to figure that
but
out.
But let me ask you this, though. How does that scare them off? Because you have your own identity, where you'll get a motherfucker who will be like, yeah, yeah, I dig this. And then all of a sudden they were like, oh, she's really that bitch. Now I'm insecure because you really are who you said you were.
If you got a wife and a family, you need to handle your insecurity. I don't got time to help you be confident. If you're going to come at
but
me.
But even if I'm not even saying married wise, I'm saying just in general. Like,
I can't do nothing about that. Then I got to filter through it. I can't. Yeah. There's no way to know who you pick, how they going to act.
I like how Jackie's like, hey, I'm here to blow you, not to be your therapist. So if you're going to. You got to go somewhere else.
Here's the thing. You don't know when you vibing with somebody what if the crazy is coming. Yeah, you don't know. So you gotta hope who you pick is not going to be the one to jack up your
here's shit. Here's the other crazy shit. You don't even realize. I mean, you know, as black folks, we just started going to therapy and shit. You legitimately have people with mental illness you're dating. Like, do you know what it is? My boy's married to this a bipolar chick. This bitch crazy. Like, yo, this bitch crazy.
It's real, yeah.
Schizophrenia, compulsive disorders, all kinds of shit, and then because they have it, they have insecurity, and motherfuckers is washing their hands 5 times, and all kinds, and you're talking about real live mental illness, along with the fact that you're trying to negotiate an intimate or an intimate and adult emotional kind of relationship. You gotta try
and get out of that. Like I dated a guy once that he seemed really cool, but the more time we spent together, at some point he kind of like, Jackie, you know, I'm really jealous. And I was like, there's nobody but you. What's this for? And I'd be on the phone with a dude and I could see him steaming. So I realized he's at a level of jealous that is not rational. And you have to have the wherewithal to be like, I'm probably going to get out of this because I think he going to kill me at some point. Yeah. So you really do have to, if you can. Sometimes you can't leave that easily because you got a kid or you share in a house, whatever. But if you have the ability to leave when you do sense it, because a woman's instinct, my instinct is to be like, I'm going to find out what's wrong with him and I'm going to try and fix it. A lot of us have that fix it thing.
Right,
but fix it, you can't necessarily transcend mental illness with the whole fix it.
Right.
You can't fix it. So unfortunately, you got to leave. You got to get the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
Jackie, when do you feel like you came into your own? Because you feel very confident. You seem like you know what you're doing for yourself. Like, when did that all kind of come to the right spot?
I've always been, I think because I've always been a funny girl, not like a class clown, but the humor is a defense mechanism. And it's always been to help me get out of, you know, I never had a fight before. Or when I do have arguments, I'll wink and I'll throw in a little funny ditty. But being funny does help you either be real confident or fake it where no one can tell that you're not. And I don't really have my parents did not raise me to be confident. They were always kind of like, just get a job, get married, and shut the fuck up. So I don't really know. I would say it must come from God and finding out that I had talent, you know, a while ago. And that talent helped me get confident. Because before that, I was the average insecure girl in high school because all of my girlfriends that were you know, light-skinned black girls and really pretty. And I was always kind of like, I'm not light, I'm not skinny. My hair is not naturally anything. I've always been a black girl. And so you have to figure out what will set you aside. And funny got me out of the circle of, are you good enough? Well, I'm funny. I can make everyone in this room laugh, and that helps. So I found out what made me stand out. Everyone has to figure out what's going to make you, so that no matter what circle you're in, you're like, I'm fine. I got it, you know, and that takes years. And I would say it changed my stand-up probably about 3 to 5 years ago, where I stopped doing what I thought were sets and doing more of, this is what happened to me. And I know how, like Dante said, to do the structure joke. I know how to take what happens to me and put it in a structure and bring it to the stage, you know, tonight. I can do it, get up anywhere.
Right.
And that just took years of nurturing.
Just working that muscle.
And having a lot of jobs that I didn't like, getting fired, looking for a career, going to school because I thought I had to get the degrees. You know, when you go
What do you mean? You mean doing things that you didn't want to do in the first place. So you appreciate the fact that you...
Yeah. When you go through all the stuff that the society and family tells you should go through and you're not happy with any of it, you're always kind of looking. So I've always like, I hate this job. I don't like school, blah, blah, blah. And it takes years. Sometimes you gotta be 40 to be like, this is it. This is what I want to do.
Your people Bayesian?
Jamaican.
Jamaican.
Everyone's Jamaican. Yeah.
Jamaican. See, and I always talk about that, like, you know, because my dad was from Antigua, right? And
the boyfriend I'm trying to leave is from Antigua. Y'all are a pain. But go ahead.
And it's like you have that. My dad, like you said, my dad was like, look, just don't die. Don't get arrested. I'm a great dad. Like I didn't kill him. And he seems pretty good. You know, yeah,
they don't do much. They just do what's needed.
Yeah. But I mean, when you think about what they've gone through.
Yes.
In the course, just even to get to that point, mm-hmm. is something that you go, man, like, you know, I always say that my dad was born 1920. And so like he grew up in Jim Crow, like in Jim, not like how you read it. So it's like we end up missing these things out from because our parents are just like, let's just not let them die. You know, we're getting more now, more it's into self-fulfillment. It's, you know, like our generation is finding that. But
I think it started at our generation because before us, it's been about survival. It's been about, I'm an immigrant. I need to get a job. Mm-hmm. I need to get three jobs. And that's it. Yeah. And we're the generation, we started the whole like, but I have dreams. And they're like, dreams? What the fuck you dream?
What do you think you have dreams for? What?
Where you so get dreams from? Who told you dreams?
When I was a little kid, I asked my dad, like, what a school probably, like, what was your dream to be when you grew up? He goes, we were too poor to have dreams.
Exactly.
And I didn't understand it. For years, I didn't understand how that worked. And
that's what immigrant families or immigrant parents, we all have that in common, where we're the ones like, I want to figure this out. They're like, you better figure this out because you need to eat.
Yeah.
You better figure out this rent. Exactly. That's what you better figure out.
My pops is 16 brothers and sisters. He used to always talk about how they would go to the butchers and get the bologna rinds and the salami rind, mm-hmm. and then bring that home and make a soup with the bologna rinds.
Ain't that plastic?
Yeah. You cook the meat off the plastic?
Andre, hilarious.
Damn.
Yeah, you don't know that. Like, when I would go to, like, for years, I would go to Jamaica every summer. I spend the whole summer there. Mm. And my grandmother, the house I went to, she didn't have running water and electricity until I was probably in my teenage years. Mm. So prior to that, I was going to, you know, third world, the fruit, the whatever, we pick it, the animals kill it, go get it. And when you realize that that's what you come from, you're like, I am spoiled, but whatever. You know?
Yeah, it's a different thing. What did your parents stay together? They still together or no?
No, they were married 49 years. My father died of Parkinson's about almost 4 years ago.
So
50 years of marriage.
Yeah. They stay together.
Was it one of those marriages where they were in love the whole time, or sometimes there's like these 50-year marriages, like, oh, we made a commitment.
Surviving.
Yeah, they're just living this life out. I mean, I'm sure they love each other, but they don't live in this world of, they just kind of, you know, existed. And my mother is typical domestic woman. My father was typical watch TV and watch sports all day long, with the occasional drive me to here and drive me there. Mm. And they just, you know, did what they had to do because they didn't think there's anything else.
That's what you're supposed to do.
That's what you do. I grew up with the whole, like, I want to do this and I want to try that and I want to go here. And then, like, you're going to die. And I'm like, you know what? I'm okay dying if I try. I don't mind dying because I attempted to have a different life. And that's because, and I didn't tell you to have me in America. You could have had me in Jamaica and brought me up that way, but you chose to bring you and whatever here. You had me here. So I have the American
in front of all this fun shit.
Entitlement. Exactly.
You chose to bring me here where they're all doing all this cool shit. So sorry.
I'd have been home cutting cane.
You could have brought me up in the bushes.
Eating bush crab.
Exactly. You brought me here to America where I think your eyeglasses should be Gucci. I can't help that.
Good point. You didn't get here by yourself.
Jackie, did you ever get got in a relationship? We always talk about that on the show. Like, was there ever one that you got? No?
Not that I can prove. Whenever I had suspicions, I never.
Well, not like that where you were like stuck on a motherfucker, like you couldn't shake him. Not so much.
Currently, I'm currently trying to figure out what I'm doing right now, and I'm. It's one day at a time.
Oh boy! See, I think this one. This might be the one.
This is the one. I met him in college when I was 18. But nothing happened. He had a girlfriend. We go to school. He transferred out because he was a basketball dude. I stayed and finished, transferred. And we met up like years after we both finished college, or I finished and he, whatever the fuck he did. Mm-hmm. And we fooled around, but I was involved with the good guy. He was the bad boy. Mm-hmm. Long story short, moved to LA 20 years. But I still kept coming home for holidays and seeing him. And you know what I mean by seeing. Even when I was involved with the serious boyfriend. So I moved back to New York.
You get that holiday rousting. It's got to happen.
After he was four. So when I moved back to New York, he's like, well, you're back. So now we're going to figure this out. We're going to be a couple. But then the longer I dated him, the more I'm like, he's the same dude that I left 20 years. He didn't change. Whereas I've had 5 different personalities,
different 11 lives.
Different jobs and lives. So I came back a different girl. He came back, and I came back a different name. Like, everything fucking changed. And he's like, this is not... I'm like, well, I told you that it was going to be different. Long story short, we don't have any connection beyond sex. That is how... And here's what I was talking about earlier. We don't get nothing done because the sex is so good. Mm. But we don't have any kind of connection outside of that. And pandemic-wise, that is perfect, and it was fun. But now we're going into a year of the pandemic. And at some point, I'm like, dude, you know, and I'm traveling again. Like, I started working again like I was before. I kept telling him, I'm like, dude, I am available all the time now because the world is locked down. But trust me, when the world opens up, I'm gone again, and I'm going to be happily gone. I can't wait to be gone.
I like those parameters you set up. You're like, listen. We could do this now, but once I got any other option.
But like most men, he's like, yeah, whatever. Take your clothes off. Stop talking.
In all fairness, there have been a lot of parameters.
Like, all right.
You're right. Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
I've had a lot of parameters thrown my way that I just went, okay, all right. And then it doesn't happen, though. In all fairness to men the other way. There are a lot of women do a lot of like, well, it's either me or the highway. And when you leave, they go, wait, hold on. I'm coming with you.
Bitch on the highway with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't use that as a technique that you don't give a fuck and you give a fuck. I go, because then what happened when they turn and go, yeah, all right, cool, I'm out. And then you like, now you have no credibility at all.
And I realized that he's just too difficult to talk to. He's a hood nigga. You know, and a hood nigga.
He got hood nigga dick.
Yes. And hood niggas are hard to be like, what's our future? And he's kind of like,
I ain't got no future.
I ain't got no you. And
I'm a black man in America. Every day is a win.
That's him.
Futures is for pussies, man.
Exactly. So, but I'm not going to lie. To be real transparent, I'm like, look, if and when I financially come up, am I okay?
Would you
come
and scoop him up and just go, hey,
you know why? You know why? He's simple. He loves to cook. He's a domestic dude. So I'm like, you know what? If you want to be the wife and I be the husband, I didn't say that. I'm like crazy. In my head, I'm like, you know what? I got the money. You got the house. We'll be together. We'll travel together, which girls love a travel companion. I'm like, you know what? We can do this. But
you know, here's a motorcycle. Here's a Harley. Ride around the park a couple times.
A PS5. Shut up. When I'm done with my show, I come back to the hotel room. Make sure your dick is out. That was my mentality. But we haven't been getting along because I realize, and my vagina's like, you know, we have to get back to the real world at some point. And the more I realize that and try to talk to him about it, the more he's like, he's resisting everything. So I'm like, you know what? I need to really figure out if he is worth the time anymore. Because at some point, you do have to turn the lights on, put your clothes on, and be out in the real world. And he doesn't do well in the real world. He does great at home. I go to his house. When I go to his house, he opens the door. He has a blunt already rolled, a cocktail already ready. He made dinner. He's walking around half naked because he knows. Yeah. Once I get in that door.
This is what it is.
But when we leave, he has no etiquette. And I'm like, I can't do this. I'm too old.
Can you travel with him?
Yeah, I can. But he doesn't have a driver's license. Like, I have a joke.
Oh, boy, wow. That is level 5.
My most popular joke that I've done in the last 4 years has been about the best lover I've ever had, and it's about him. And if he heard it, he would cry and be so offended because I wrote it about him. So now I'm like, I need to grow up and realize what I'm worth. So I'm in the middle of realizing my worth. And he's fun, but he's not the one.
Yeah. You got to be able to talk to someone, right? Well, unless you get it all set up. Harry, we're going to... Jackie, we're going to break... Not break, but we're going to just... close out. I want you to get all your plugs in, and then we're gonna go behind the paywall for another 20 to Patreon.
So if anyone wants to join us, we're gonna have a little bit more with Jackie Fabulous over at the Patreon. It's patreon.com/manschool202. That's where you can join us for all the patrons, and we appreciate each and every one of you. Let's do plugs, Dante, before we go.
Jackie, go ahead.
JackieFabulous.com. Social media, everything is at Jackie Fabulous. And I have a podcast relatable with Jackie Fabulous. I want to have you guys on it at some point. And I have a lot of merch on my site. Go buy everything, and that's it.
All right. Dre?
Yo, go to like Google or like your search engine and type in Andre D. Thompson. Hi.
Tonight Show. Give your credit. Yeah. What's wrong with you?
But if they do that, they're going to see it.
Oh, whatever.
You could go to at Harry Turjanian. That's all my social media. You definitely go check out Manschool 202 YouTube page so you could see this episode and a lot of other clips as well. And our Instagram page, Real Manschool 202. If you could check that out, join us over there because we're going to be doing some more live Instagram stuff as well. And whatever happens, it goes on over there.
Yeah.
It goes on over there. It goes down.
Everything with me is at Dante Nero, Instagram, the Dante Nero. Don't forget the YouTube page, Manschool 202, Dante Nero. Also, my page, GYBB, Get Your Balls Back, WWDD, What Would Dante Do? The Sexual Revolution is being podcasted. I appreciate y'all, and I am out. Manschool 202 is created by Dante Nero. Hosted by Dante Nero with Harry Turjanian and Andre D. Thompson. Produced by Harry Turjanian. Executive producers Matt Kleinschmidt, Harry Turjanian, and Dante Nero.